we're talking now about how we go about building homes in the UK. What kinds of homes should we be building? The design behind them. And we're joined by the designer, Wayne Hemingway. You might know him as fashion designer for the chain of stores Red or Dead. He's become famous for his work as well with developers on housing around the country in places such as Gateshead, Blackburn, Dartford, Maidenhead. Joins us on the line now. Morning to you, Wayne.
Morning.
Has the fame of the housing development stuff caught up with the fame of the fashion world just yet?
Well, I sold Red or Dead 20 years ago now, so it seems like a lifetime ago, and spent the last 20 years mainly doing urban regeneration and housing. So, yeah, I mean, and this is much more important than fashion. I mean, just way, way more important than fashion.
How do the two... We had a few people getting in touch saying still those T-shirts still going strong from the 80s, but one person saying, how does a fashion designer end up being in the world of designing buildings?
Me and my wife never studied fashion. We were into nightclubs and just fell into it. I studied geography and town planning, so I basically went back to what I know.
Back to your roots, right? So, In everything over the last couple of decades, when you've seen the UK's property market and the struggles to achieve what everybody seems to want to achieve, what do you think when you look at it now is the challenge?
Well, the biggest challenge obviously is affordability, because we've got now a very different generation to my generation. Now we've got two generations who have been worse off than their parents, and worse off in one of the worst possible ways, in that's being able to afford to live in a decent home. And you know, homes are about well-being more than anything else, more than cars, more than anything. They're absolutely about your well-being. And if we're negatively impacting on that, we better do something about it. And we've been trying. So, you know, when I first went to university in 1979, it was the same and studied this very subject. The same arguments, not quite as strong as they are now. And things obviously weren't as bad because, you know, obviously I was able to buy a home in London for £22,000 in 1983 or whatever. 1982, maybe, I think it was. And so things have got worse. And we've been rehearsing the same old arguments, every single government, the same old arguments. And really now I think it needs something radical. And we need to start looking at some of the things that they're looking at in Europe. And one of them is for me, is really working out if we could make a land price cap. So what happens basically is...
What you're saying is that they don't make land anymore in this country, whereas in Europe there are vast open spaces that you can develop without causing too much hassle. Well, we have a cockamamie housing scheme in this country.
Well, there is that side of it. I'm not quite saying that, but you're right. So 1.1% of land in this country is given over to housing, and that's less than golf courses. Now, that puts it in perspective. What's more important, a golf course? You know, I'm sure to some of your listeners, they'll think, oh, golf courses are more important, but they're not. But the thing that I'm talking about is when a farmer has land and it's worth £20,000 as agricultural grazing land, can be worth less than that. It rises in the southeast, so within reach of London. When that becomes net developable land for housing, it rises to £2 million. So that's a hundred times.
So you're dangling the carrot in front of the farmers, really.
Yeah, and any landowner, and obviously they're going to take it. And there are cases around London of an uplift of 250 times. Now, you know, that is immoral, really. And in Europe now, in quite a few places, in Germany and in Holland, they're restricting it to around about 20. In some places, they're doing it at 10. So if you're still getting 20 times the amount of what something's worth, you know, if you're selling something on eBay for 20 times more than you bought it, you're going to be very, very happy. And so maybe it's a time to cut out one or two people making so much money, because what it's led to is that 70% of the cost of all our new homes are given over to the land price. And that means the squeeze on quality is enormous. And that means that developers are cutting down on everything, on space standards, on quality of build. And what it's also doing, it means that since 2008, when the crash happened and we lost so many of our SME, our small, medium enterprise builders, and those builders are often working in local areas where local builders don't do stuff on their own doorstep. I probably can't use the word that I would use, but you probably know the phrase.
Understood. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we lost all of those small, medium, local builders, and now they can't come back in the market because the amount of money it takes to bid for land and the amount of borrowing you need to bid for this really expensive land is holding them back. So it's left to all of the big boys who are making 20% return on capital employed, which is a much larger return than an SME would. An SME would traditionally have taken around 12%. Yeah. So you're getting double the profit by a small amount of developers because they've got no competition. It's something radical has to happen.
Now, and I can hear your enthusiasm for it, Wayne. But the idea
is that,
of
is
a
that
land,
the word?
Yes. Well, to put it mildly, but I mean the idea of a cap on land prices in the UK, does it not feel pie in the sky to you in terms of it actually coming into play anytime soon to sort the housing crisis out?
I don't think it is because in the Letwin report, the Oliver Letwin reports, so that's, you know, that's a Conservative government. And I think it was only in November, you know, he was talking about it. And it's a pretty major report and it's pretty fresh. It would need absolute cross-party agreement on this. But I think there is cross-party agreement on well-being. I mean, because if you don't have cross-party agreement, if it's not embedded in law, what you would get, quite possibly, is a freeze, a land market freeze, where people were saying, well, I'm not going to let my land come to market until a new government comes in, and they're going to lift this cap. So that is, for me, that's a real danger. It would mean that actually, as a nation, we decided that when it comes to selling land for housing, there was a limit to the amount of profit that the landowner could make. And as I say, that would have to be every single party agreeing to it. But I actually think it's common sense. There are certain things where the free market should not be allowed to impact, and that is on our well-being. And there is nothing quite like coming home from work, putting your slippers on, and being in a place that you know is either yours or that you can't be kicked out of, and you can just turn off from the pressures of life. That's what home is about.
We've got a few people getting in touch now, Wayne. Tracy says, Kent is no longer the Garden of England due to housing being built. Hundreds and hundreds of them losing beautiful countryside. Population matters needs to be addressed. Golf course is more important due to being a safe home for wildlife. How do you counter those that are concerned that the beautiful areas they live in will no longer be as beautiful in the years to come?
I'm not talking about building housing on the greenest of green. There are plenty of areas on the edge of town and infill sites that will satisfy our need for 300,000 homes a year. And the thing is that we hear this all the time, generally from older people who are being a little bit selfish about thinking about young people and their needs. We have a housing shortage, but we don't have to build on the greenest of green. And as I say, only 1.1% of the country is housing.
But we have a housing shortage, Wayne. We've had it for years, and it was estimated that there are the best part of 1 million homes in this country unoccupied.
And look at what the percentage of those, you know, they're unoccupied, and it's not all about
and
councils.
They're not in greenfields, they're in towns.
Well, they are, and a lot of them are in private ownership, remember? So what are we? So that's a completely different thing.
Compulsory purchase orders?
Well, yeah, or not allowing people to leave their, or not allowing to leave their homes empty, being punitive in terms of taxation for people who don't, you know, rent their house out.
I mean, are a lot of people leaving these homes, big homes, leaving them unoccupied, so that eventually they can put in for planning permission to have half a dozen homes built on that one site? Because that seems to be a popular trend at the moment.
Well, if you look at, I'm no expert on that, but if you look at what Shelter are saying, they will say that there are vast numbers of homes that could be lived in, and it's, you know, it's very easy for the media to blame councils for that, but the vast majority are private individuals. And again, it's that we have to change the narrative for people to understand that that we have to start thinking about people's well-being and not just your own greed.
Wayne, just before we go, using your experience of selling clothes on Camden Market decades ago to being involved in major regeneration projects, what would you do with the high street?
Well, that's pretty obvious. When we started Red or Dead, you know, what we never thought we were going to. We had 23 shops, but we never called it a chain of shops. It was a place where you went to experience club culture. You went in there to find out about. We always had the latest club music playing. It was always about which club to go out to when you bought your clothes. And when I grew up in Blackburn, the main thing that you went into town for was to watch a band or go dancing or to meet a girl, to meet your friends, have a pie, as it is, you know, in Blackburn we eat pies, and have a drink. And then the byproduct of that was shopping. And I think, you know, my generation was to blame and kind of putting, you know, I would never use the word high street because I associate that with just pure retail. And the idea that shopping as a leisure function for our town centres is the main thing was just an aberration. And now I think we're going back. And again, a new generation is sensible. And we're going back to our town centres being social spaces where we dance, we drink, we eat, we meet friends, and we meet our future partner, and that makes us happy, and we might spend a bit of money on clothes and stuff.
Well, Wayne, next time you're out for a night out in Blackburn, us lot in Salford will very happily join you down the road. Thank you for joining us this morning on Wake Up to Money. Wayne Hemingway, where they're talking about what we should do to build our homes a little bit better in the UK. Thank you for everybody who's got in touch as well. That's it from Wake Up to Money. Breakfast up next.